And welcome again to the Expressway. I am Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we are here again bringing you some more New York Giants, New York Jets, and the world of football news to you like only we can. This week, all of our Giants fans are a little disappointed. They had a game that they should have won, they could have won, and there is a bunch of blame to pass around to the offense, to the coaches, to everyone. We went from a week where we were so high, we were excited. They had a chance to win back-to-back games for the first time this season. And for some reason, defense played well, offense didn't play well. BT, how are you feeling this week?
Well, I was a little disappointed. The only thing I knew is that Cincinnati had a pretty decent team, and Joe Burrow was a good quarterback. But I think the Giants played well enough to win. I mean, they lost 17-7, I think the score was. And the thing that kind of made me mad is that they're not getting in the end zone. I mean, even before, when they played before, they were kicking a lot of field goals. And I think you got to figure out a way or some way to get in from the red zone into the end zone. I can't really fault Danny Jones, even though he had a turnover, because it wasn't totally his fault. But I just thought the offensive line was in and out. They didn't play as well as they did the week before. I think Malik Nabers hurts them by him being out. I like Tyrone Tracy. I think he's good. But I don't know. That was a tough one because that may come back to haunt them later on in the season, Charles.
Yeah, especially after you have an exciting win the week before. You made an special teams came through, blocked the field goal, led them to victory. And then you're thinking Cincinnati, beat up team, not very confident. Even though they do have Joe Smooth back there at quarterback, they got Jamar Chase back there. And they got T. Higgins back there. I mean, they got some good potent weapons, and they kept them in check for the majority of the game. And like you said, it was a couple of mistakes that were made by the Giants that I think ultimately cost them the game. I think the first mistake was Brian Daboll going forward on fourth down one of the times. Especially going against Cincinnati, knowing your team, I know you want to have confidence. I know you want to kind of continue to boost morale, continue to have the team believe that you believe in them and you want to go for it. But in that situation, maybe it's best just to take the points and live to fight another day.
Well, see, and I wanted to ask you about that, the analytical part of NFL football. Baseball has it, and I don't like it in baseball because they say that after a guy gets up the second time, he knows who the pitcher is, so they take the pitcher out. Now they're saying, I see so many coaches who come down to either going for two or going for one, and then go for two, don't make it, end up losing the game. Brian Daboll has done that in the past, and he's had success. But I think it's when you do it, and I think that that kind of hurt the Giants momentum-wise. And I think you got to be able to step up big time. I like Brian Daboll as a coach, but you know he's not out there playing. And I still think that Danny Jones is doesn't throw the ball accurately at times, and it loses the momentum for the receiver or the running back. What I mean is that they catch the ball either behind them, have to slow down to catch it, and then regain their momentum. And I saw that. But you look at the statistics on the first downs. The Giants outscored the Bengals 24-13. I thought they ran the ball well. I just don't know, you know, because the third down efficiency with 5 for 15, I don't know if that's winnable in the NFL.
Yeah, almost one-third, 33%. That's not very good. Last week they were almost 50%. They were well over 50%, and they win. And I think if you look at all the teams that had success and win, they're close to that 50% mark on third down conversion rate. When you look at how Daniel Jones has to manage the game, I thought he managed the game pretty well, but that one interception, he can't afford to make those types of mistakes. That the Giants aren't a great team. They're a team that has to win a game that is methodical. They have to control the ball offensively, keep the defense off the field, and kind of slow and kind of shrink the game a little bit so that the other team doesn't have a ton of possessions. And if they can do that, they win. But when they do that, they can't afford to make the mistakes that they made. You might as well say they had two turnovers. They turned it over on downs, and they had an interception. And the interception that Daniel Jones threw was a bad interception.
Yeah, it was a bad one. And I got to look at, him. I'm hoping that he continues to improve and gets better, but I think last week was a little bit of a setback. The thing that I really like, though, Charles, is Theo Johnson, the tight end from Penn State. I think he's beginning to step up. He had dropped a couple balls earlier in the year, but now he might be a go-to guy because he's catching the ball. And then after the catch, you can tell he's got a little bit of ump in him. So I think he can really help the Giants if they can utilize him, because when Malik Nabers comes back, him and Slayton, they're going to take a lot of the pressure off, but then your tight end's got to get down the middle. He can be a big part of the Giants' success if they start getting everything in order.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think injuries are starting to pile up, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The defense is continuing to hold up, but I think Penix went out last week with an injury. He came out of the game and didn't return towards the end of that game. I just love what Tyler Newbin is doing. He is an exciting draft pick. Deontay Banks is doing well on the defensive ball. And Shane Bowen, as much criticism as he was getting the first week of the season, he's doing a good job with what he has. Everybody is playing. He's holding opponents to 17 points this game, under 20 points last week. I think he's doing what he's supposed to do as a defense, giving the offense a chance to win games. Now the offense just has to step up and perform and do something. I don't particularly like how Darius Slayton is playing. He makes some great plays sometimes, and he makes some not so great plays some other times. I don't know if he wants to be considered an elite wide receiver, but I just don't think he's in that category yet.
Well, I don't think he is yet, because I think he has to be aware of down and distance and where you are on the field, because sometimes you see, even when you watch a lot of games on TV, it'll be 3rd and 8, the receiver runs 6 yard out, and you didn't get the extra 2 yards. And I think that's your veteranship that comes in, to knowing exactly where you are. I think that Malik Nabers being out hurts them, but then I was hoping that, and you and I had talked about it before, that it would allow Danny Jones to survey the field and take whatever the defense gives instead of predetermined about Malik Nabers. But I think that the Giants have shown that they got a young team. If they can get things in order, I love the defensive backs of the New York Giants. And even Brian Burns has begun to step up and play the kind of ball that we thought he was going to play. So it's almost a shame for the defense to only give up 17 points to a powerful Cincinnati team who hit 38 points and lost to Baltimore a couple weeks ago. So I don't know what to think about that, because the defense is doing its job, but then what do you do on offense? You can't. There's no moves I see you can make. I mean, when Devin's Singletary comes back, that's going to be a help. But I think that they got Tyrone Tracy really, really showing that he's going to be a factor in the NFL. So I don't know what the thing to do, because you can't win in the NFL when you only score 17 points and you score less than 3 touchdowns. And I think that hurts the whole team. And I think the momentum that they get from it is probably dangerous, because the defense has to stay on the field too long.
Yeah, and they weren't as effective in the run game as they were the previous week. Obviously, they had over 100 yards total offense last week, albeit being one big run was a majority of that. But this year, you look at their run games, they had 31 attempts and had 119 yards, but Tyrone Tracy only had 50 of those yards. You can't expect Daniel Jones to have the majority, be the leading rusher every week and expect to win games. And you're putting him in harm's way by having him carry the ball as much as he is. I know that's what they need to do to win, but I don't know if that's going to be a formula for success for the entire year.
Well, what's interesting is I watch around the NFL, which we'll go to in the end of our presentation, but I see more quarterbacks running now than I've ever seen in my whole life. But Danny Jones, the thing that makes me mad about him, he doesn't know how to slide. You'll take a beating if you don't know how to slide, because you need to get your behind. You need to watch the Yankees and the Mets play now today in the playoffs and see how they do it, because they're not doing a good job. Danny Jones, I've been waiting for him to get down. Because you can't take that kind of beating. This is only 6 weeks. We're going to the seventh week of the season. He's got to be able to play a little bit more cautious when he has the ball. I love when they do run him on a quarterback draw or a quarterback sweep, because I think they don't really worry about him, so it opens things up. But then he's got to be careful in his way to deal with the defense, because they love to hit a quarterback. Anytime a quarterback gets out, they want to get him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Now let's go to our next segment, which is Stock Up and Stock Down, taking a look at some of the Giants players we've already talked about. Just want to get your opinion on whether their stock is up this week or stock is down. Our first guy, Danny Dimes. You know, I didn't think he managed the game as well as I would have expected him to. The interception hurt, and I think he wasn't as accurate as he was the week before. And so for me, stock is trending down a little bit this week as compared to last week.
And I really hate to agree with you, but I'm going to agree with you, because I saw some situations where he didn't, you know, sometimes a quarterback, when the rush comes, he'll look kind of down instead of keep his eyes focused downfield. He didn't do that a couple of times, and I think he had receivers open. And the other thing I'd already talked about was that he is inaccurate a few times. And when I watch quarterbacks, even I watch Aaron Rodgers put the ball on the money, and that allows you to have yards after catch. And he's not allowing that a lot. He does it a couple times, but not consistently enough for the Giants to have success, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, our next is offensive line. Had a rough game. Even Andrew Thomas had a rough game, even though he was going against one of their best defensive linemen. His guy put a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones, and to your point, maybe he was looking at the rush instead of downfield this week, because he was under pressure. Even though he was only sacked twice, he was under pressure a lot.
Yeah, I think the offensive line took a back seat from the week before, because I was thinking these guys have improved. They looked a lot better. But Cincinnati's a team you really don't know about, because a lot of people think they're a championship team, and the Giants came up short on that when they should have really won the game by key situations. But I think the offensive line just had a setback. I think this week they'll get it together, because the only bad thing about when you lose, Charles, as you know as well as I do, is that it allows the coaches to coach you more. And to give more reason for you to have to practice. So hopefully this can be a plus, and they can learn from this and get back to the way they were doing, because I saw Tracy come through a couple holes without being touched, and that's a great feeling for a running back, and it gives you more confidence and gives the offensive line confidence. But they did have a setback last week.
Yeah, and stock up, stock down. This is Devin Singletary. Do you think that now that Tracy has become the guy in the offense past 2 weeks and has been doing a really good job, feels like he's been playing, he's not a rookie, feels like he's a veteran. Do you think Devin Singletary's stock is down and that Tyrone Tracy is going to have to play a little bit more?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, because you don't want to say this is stock down because he's injured. And the only reason I'm saying he might be down is because he's fumbled a couple times. Anytime you lose the rock on a football field, it hurts everybody, the defense, offense, everybody. But I like Tyrone Tracy. I think that he's shown me acceleration in the hole. He's shown open field moves. And they need to use both of them equally so that they can have a 1-2 punch like you guys used to have a long time ago.
Yeah, and this guy, Darius Single. Darius Slayton. When you look at Darius Slayton, I think he's very confident, has a lot of confidence, wants to be the guy in the receiving corps. I think that he and Daniel Jones have a great relationship. You can see he's trying to target Darius Slayton all the time. But for me, I don't know if you put him in an elite category class where you're paying him a ton of money, which he wants to be paid. He wants to be paid a ton of money, but I don't think because of the way he makes plays or lack thereof, you can't put him in that type of category. And so I think stock is even to trending down.
I'm going to agree with you, even to trending down, because see, two things now. Number one, he comes up short on some of his routes. He doesn't have separation on some of his routes, and some of them he does. Don't get me wrong. And him and Danny Jones have developed a pretty good partnership. But and let me say this, and this is me being old school. Now I see the receivers all over. They get up and they sit there and show the first down. And I'm trying to figure, this the play is still going on. We still got another play. And that makes me mad. And maybe is it me being too old school? Because every single first down, somebody's sitting there pointing like they're the referee giving the first down. Yeah. And I think if I was a defensive back, that would make me mad. And just get your thoughts on that.
Well, hey, don't forget, was it Drew Hill when he did the six shooters when he was scored a touchdown when he was in Dallas, right? Him? Was it Drew Hill or who was the Cowboy receiver that used to do the pull out the six shooters when he scored a touchdown?
I know exactly who you're talking to.
Yeah, about. It was one of those receivers. So, what, I mean,
88 numbers.
Yeah.
Number 88.
And so he started that trend with them receivers acting the fool after they did something good. But at least he waited till they scored a touchdown before he acted a fool. This dude, all the receivers do it from college to NFL. They all do it when they make a big play and it's not even a touchdown. So I think it's part of the game. I think you're a little bit old school. Just a lot. I don't like it. I'm old school too, but I mean, I'm getting used to it because that's everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. I watch college baller doing it in college.
Now, here you go. Stock up, stock down. Azeez Ojulari. This dude was on his way out the door. A lot of people were saying he wasn't even going to make the team this year, and he had an amazing game. I'm saying stock up definitely.
I definitely believe that because he showed himself on the field and he made play after play and he was really encouraging to other people and really around the ball all the time. So stock up, definitely stock up.
Do you contribute that just to, I mean, he came in with some high expectations as a rookie, thinking that, hey, this is going to be one of the answers to our defensive end issue and getting pressure on the quarterback. But now he's getting older. He's becoming more used to the game, understanding the schemes and systems and how to play against different offensive linemen. I just think it's just having more experience is helping him.
Definitely, because as a linebacker, you know you have to study your offensive opponent and know the down and distances and what their tendencies are. And I think he's doing a good job of studying. He's making plays. He's helping people out. He's definitely stock up.
Shane Bowen, I love what he's doing with the defense, especially now that he has a ton of injuries that he's having to work through. I think he's done a great job getting Deontay Banks in good positions, lining him up against the best receiver and giving him the tools that he needs to actually compete against some of the best receivers in the league. And the defense, outside of that first couple of weeks where we were saying that they weren't as aggressive enough, I think he's turned more aggressive, kind of getting a feel for his defense. And I like what he's doing with the team. Stock is up.
Oh, definitely stock up, because when he came in, I didn't know that first game of the season how he was going to do, because, again, there's very little exhibition games to go by. But he's performed well every single game. The guys haven't given up a lot of points. They just haven't scored a lot of points. Definitely stock up on Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator of the Giants.
And now our guy, Coach Dable. You know, I was this week. I was disappointed. I didn't like the fourth down call, going for it on fourth down. He should have kicked it, especially that early in the game. I know you're trying to send a message not only to your team but Cincinnati. But in a game like that, where every point is critical, especially against a Cincinnati team that hadn't scored a lot of points previously, and your defense. You were hoping your defense could manage that. I think every point was critical. I think he missed out on there. And then not scoring in a red zone like we talked about earlier. And you got to score touchdowns. You got to be able to score touchdowns. And that's kind of understanding what your offense is. He went from having a great week the week before to not having such a great week this week. So based on this game, I'm saying stock down.
I would agree with you, stock down, too, because anytime you score only 7 points in a game against a team that gave up 41 to Baltimore previously, something is wrong. And I don't know what it is. I can't blame the offensive line totally because they're doing what they're supposed to do. Maybe it's play calling with Danny Jones is more conservative because he's a little bit worried about just letting them go. And I understand that because, you know, he's had a history of fumbling and having interceptions. But they got to get back to the point where they're scoring touchdowns. And maybe, you know, and maybe you have to do something different with Danny Jones and let him loose. I don't know what it is, but both of them were stocked down, Danny Jones and Brian Daboll.
Yeah, and now we're going to turn our attention to the Jets, who played last night, Monday Night Football, and had a great opportunity to win the game. They came out like gangbusters. Everybody, I know I was saying, man, why did it take so long to change offensive coordinators? Came down, went down twice in a row, scored a touchdown, scored a field, got some points with a field goal the first possession. And then at the end of the game, I mean, at the end of half, Aaron Rodgers doing his thing and throwing up a Hail Mary. And your boy Lazar comes up with a pass catch, right? Go figure. Someone that drops the ball a million times goes up and catches a pass. But ultimately, same old Jets. You missed two field goals that could have actually won you the game.
Absolutely.
And you fell. So the same old Jets. I don't think it was such a defensive thing, but you know, same old Jets.
Well, both teams are 2-4, and I think the Jets, they're depending on Aaron Rodgers, and for some reason he's not coming through in the clutch. He's had a couple games in a row where he threw an interception at the end of the game that could have tied the game. I know a couple of them weren't his fault, but, you know, he's the guy with the ball. So, I don't want to write anybody off at 2-4 with 11 games to go. So, we just have to see how it goes because, they're underachieving. The Giants don't have as much talent as the Jets on offense, but the Jets are not playing as well as they should. Maybe the coaching change hurt them. Maybe it helped them, but I just think they need to score more points. And Josh Allen of Buffalo, he's got to be one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, and what do you think about the defense? I still think the defense can give you more, especially if that's supposedly from all indications is the strongest part of your team is your defense. I don't think they're playing like a top tier defense should, because I think they're letting offenses control the field, control time of possession, and they're not getting them off the field as quickly as I think they should. What do you think is the reason for that?
I think you can run the ball against the Jets. You look at the 49ers at the beginning of the season, they ran it down their throat. Last night, that kid Davis, the young running back from Buffalo, he showed quickness in the hole. He played well. He didn't allow the Jets to get out on third down because he was converted. And I think the running game has got to be stopped in order for the Jets to be successful. They can do good against the pass, which I think their team is made for that and geared for that, but I just don't think they have what it takes to stop the run.
Yeah, and especially after all the excitement, all the hype around letting Rob Saleh go and appointing a new interim head coach, you were hoping a little. They did play well. They did come out. Yes, they did play well. And just special teams, same old Jets. Something always happens to cause them to leave. But when you look at around the NFL, not a lot of great games in the league last week. To kind of talk about the NFC East for a second, look at Philly. Philly, I don't know. Philly is supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFC, and they don't look like one of the best teams in the NFC. And Dallas looks like one of the worst teams in the NFC based on how they played last week. What is going on with the two top contenders in the NFC East?
Well, as far as the Cowboys, the owner, Jerry Jones, thinks he's a general manager and he has hurt the team. I mean, he didn't sign anybody in the offseason, and teams are running the ball down their throat. As far as Philly's concerned, they got back their leading receivers this past week, and that helped him. But the quarterback is not playing as well as he thought he was going to play. I still love Saquon Barkley. He didn't have a great game because he didn't get the ball that many times. But I think the Eagles could be there if they continue to improve. Their head coach, Sirianni, I think he's having some problems, and that may hurt them coming down the stretch.
Yeah, I do too. But what do you think? So is there a true top team in the NFC East? Do you think teams will start getting catching up to Jaden Daniels from the Washington Commanders? Do you think that once you start putting more pressure on him as a quarterback, he's going to start coming back to reality, or is he going to be the next CJ Stroud from last year and take his team to the playoffs? It sure looks like it's more of the latter of him being like CJ Stroud leading his team to the playoffs.
Oh, no question. He's a leader. He reads the defense well. He's accurate with his passes. He gets the ball on the money, gives him room to run. I think Detroit Lions are going to be good in the East also. And I think Washington is going to continue to improve. They're 4-2 now. I think the Cowboys are definitely on the way down, which excites me. The Eagles, I don't know what to think about them because they're inconsistent from week to week. And I think it gives the Giants and Washington a chance to do something because Giants are 2-4, and they're only one or two games out of the top spot. So if they can get things in order, the Giants can step up and possibly compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Can't wait to see how this thing called the NFL turns out, because there's a lot of parity. There really isn't a team running away outside of Kansas City running away with the Super Bowl championship. You know, it looks like from the AFC standpoint, Kansas City is the cream of the crop. NFC, there really isn't a team the cream of the crop. Is it Minnesota? Do you think Sam Darnold is coming right back down to earth after their loss last week? So it's tough. You got Washington and the NFC. You got Washington. You got Minnesota, and you got the 49ers as the three teams that you would call top tier or top echelon teams. In the AFC, who do you have outside of Kansas City?
Well, see, the AFC is all wide open. I like Baltimore. I really do. When they're running the ball with Derrick Henry, they're unstoppable. Right. And it just depends on the play caller for them. So I like Baltimore at all. And I don't know what to think about anybody else except Kansas City. Cincinnati could get on a roll, and possibly because Joe Burrow's is good. I don't care what anybody says. And the Jets have a chance to do it. They're only one game out of first place. If they had won last night, they would have been tied for first place. So I think and I like to think that when you get to the halfway point, which we got two or three more weeks, then we can look at it and decide who's going to be in the top. But now they're just kind of positioning themselves, getting their game in order. And then I think in a couple more games, we're going to see even a higher level of NFL football.
I totally agree with you. And don't sleep on Chicago. That's the sleeper pick. Yep. Who's slowly but surely winning games. But they're not playing anybody. They're not beating great opponents, but they are winning games. Yep. So now we're going to turn our attention to the results from last week. We tied it, but you're still beating me 16-9. I got a ways to come back. So hopefully this week I can come back. But it's so hard to pick teams. The games were crazy last week. You still had teams, even though it was more blowouts last week than really good games. But the really good games were back and forth, and they were a surprise to a lot of people. So let's start off. We got the Broncos versus the Saints. Broncos is very – Sean Payton's team is very tough, especially when the Saints – you don't know what type of team you're going to get with the Saints. I'm going to go – they're playing in New Orleans. I'm going to go with the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Broncos only because Sean Payton knows the Saints. And I think he can stop them. So you're going with the Saints. I'm going with the Broncos.
Eagles, Giants, huh. This should be – I mean, Eagles should win this game. But let's – you know, I'm not going to – I'm never going to go against my team, especially against a division foe. I'm going to go with the Giants.
I'm going with the Eagles. You're going with the Giants. And the reason I'm going with the Eagles is because Saquon Barkley is coming to town, and I think that he wants to show somebody that they made a mistake.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that too. Patriots versus Jaguars. Patriots, I mean, they're starting their rookie quarterback, so he's taking over. I think the Jaguars, if they don't win this week, they have a potential to be in the running for the number one draft pick, because I think the team morale, I think Doug Peterson is losing the team. By the way, if you see the way they played the last couple of weeks, it looks like they don't have any fight in them. And so if they don't win this week, it's going to be a long season for the Jaguars. I'm picking the Jaguars.
I'm going with you and the Jaguars also.
Titans versus the Bills. I don't think Tennessee has a good quarterback. I'm going with the Bills.
I'm going with the Bills also because I like Jess Allen.
Texans versus the Packers. This is a good game. It's in Lambeau. It still hasn't gotten cold yet, so the elements won't have too much an impact on this game, especially against the Houston Texans. You know I can't go against my boy C.J. Stroud. I'm taking the Texans.
And I'm going with the Packers. You're going with the Texans. I'm going with the Packers.
Lions versus the Vikings. This is a tough game. The Lions lost their best defensive end this week for the year with a fractured leg. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have. Maybe they actually found the key to success of beating the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Maybe Sam Darnold is starting to come back to earth. They are playing in Minnesota, and it is a conference game, a division game for the Vikings and the Lions. Yeah, I'm a go with the Lions. I'm a ride Dan Campbell.
I'm going with the Vikings because I think they're playing at home, and I believe in Sam Darnold.
Seahawks versus the Falcons. You like your guy at the Falcons, the running back. Yep. I think they playing at home. Falcons is one of those quietly improving teams. I'm gonna go with the Falcons.
I'm gonna go with you on the Falcons because I think Seattle is not as good as they think they are. The Giants beat them.
Bengals versus the Browns. Mike Stefanski came out saying that Deshaun Watson is his guy and gives him the best opportunity to win. I don't think anybody believes that. And I just don't see them winning this game. They should win, but I just don't see them winning this game. And if they don't win the game, I think that may be the second coach on the hot seat that may get fired before the season is over. I'm going with the Bengals.
Okay, I'm going with the Bengals also. I don't like Deshaun Watson. I think he's regressed tremendously. All these quarterbacks that are getting $50 million and doing terrible, that's a shame for the running backs.
And then now you got the Dolphins and the Colts. Richardson, the quarterback, is back. They have a chance to win. Dolphins still is without Tua, even though Mike McDaniel said that he is probably will play again this season. I don't think he's going to come back for this game. And until they get a quarterback, I don't see how they are ever being picked to win a game, except if they're going against someone of a lesser opponent. I don't think Indianapolis is the lesser opponent. I'm going with the Colts.
Okay, now, I have Dolphins and the Chiefs.
You're probably right. I think I messed that up.
All right, no problem. I'm going with the Chiefs in that one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs too. I wasn't picking the Dolphins no matter who it was. Panthers and the Commanders. Panthers stink. I'm going with the Commanders.
I'm going with the Commanders also.
Raiders and the Rams. Antonio, man, at least he has to just play well. It's going to be tough for them to beat the Rams. It may be a home game for the Raiders since they're back in L.A. and the Rams really don't draw a really good home crowd. Whenever you see the games, it always seems like the other team's fans are taking over the building. You know what? Rams aren't a very good team. I still like the coach, but I'm going to go with Antonio and the Rams.
Okay, you're going with Antonio, the Raiders, and I'm going with the Rams.
Oh, it is, and it is the Dolphins and Colts.
Oh, is it Dolphins and Colts?
Okay. Yeah, it's Dolphins and Colts.
Oh, Colts, okay. All right, my bad. So who are you going with? You're going with the Colts, it doesn't matter then.
Yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going with the Raiders.
Okay. You going with the Raiders? Okay, I'm going with the Rams.
All right, now we got the Chiefs and the 49ers. This could be a good game. I still think the 49ers are banged up. They're playing in San Francisco. This may be a chance for the Chiefs to lose again. I'm going to go with the 49ers, for the upset.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs because this is a rematch of the last Super Bowl. And anytime you got Patrick Mahomes, you got a chance. Christian McCaffrey is still not played. He's gone over to Europe to see what they can do about his leg. So it must be a little bit more dangerous than we first thought. But I'm going with the Chiefs. You're going with the 49ers. No, I'm going with the – you're going with the 49ers, right?
Yeah, I'm going with the 49ers.
Okay, you're going with the 49ers. I'm going with the Chiefs. Okay. All right.
Jets versus the Steelers. Huh. I don't like going against Mike Tomlin. But the Jets really do need to win a game. This is like desperation for the Jets. They have to win. I'm going to go with the Jets.
I'm gonna go with the Steelers. You're going with the Jets. I'm going with the Steelers because they're playing at home, and it looks like Justin Field looked pretty decent last week, even though he's still not throwing the ball as well as he should.
Yeah, and Ravens and Buccaneers. How about my man Baker Mayfield? He is on a roll. I told you, don't sleep on my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles is showing that he is a good coach. And he's doing a great job. He's actually resurrected Baker Mayfield's career. The man is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at this present time, right? And he's not in the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks either, right? So they got a cheap quarterback that's probably playing like a top five quarterback for pauper's money in the quarterback space. So you got the Ravens. I'm not a Lamar Jackson fan. I do believe they can run the ball. They did play well last week, but I'm gonna still ride that Tampa Bay bandwagon. Even though I don't know if they're gonna win this game, I'm gonna ride it until I die. Going with the Buccaneers.
I'm going with the Ravens. Is that all the game so far?
You
Is that
got
it?
one more game.
Okay, go ahead.
Chargers and versus the Cardinals. When you see this is a tough game because Chargers and Harbaugh have been playing well as of late. But also my man Kyler Murray has been playing well too, but obviously they got their behinds kicked last week. I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
I'm gonna go with the Chargers also. So the games that we're going against, I'm going with the Broncos. You're going with the Saints. I'm going with the Vikings. You're going with the Lions. You're going with I'm going. You're going with the Texans. I'm going with the Packers. I'm going with the Eagles. You're going with the Giants. I'm going with the Raiders. No, you're going with the Raiders. Excuse me. I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the Chiefs. You're going with the 49ers. You're going with the Jets. I'm going with the Steelers. And I'm going with the Ravens. You're going with the Bucks. We got a lot of games this week. It's going to give you a chance to catch up, Charles.
I'm hopeful of it. Let's see what happens.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. We come on YouTube. Just check your local listings. And Charles Wade does an outstanding job putting up our graphics as we do each and every week talking about the Giants and Jets. For Charles Wade, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.